as a Baptist, I feel like I've been taught that I can be gay and be a Christian. Mm. And usually the only person saying that that's not true is whoever is up delivering the message.
Hey guys, we're here today with director Chance Calloway, who's going to talk to us about being Black, gay, and Christian.
Hi.
So you're Black, you're gay, you're Christian. A lot of people would say that all of those things together would push you away from either the Black side, the gay side, the Christian side. What's your story of like how you've gone through having those identities and also participating in Christianity?
In the gay community, you can find other Black gay people.
Yeah.
But you know, in the church, so many people aren't out and open. Mm-hmm. So I've always found that I guess I just have to be like in the closet whenever I'm at church, which is something I choose not to do. Mm. So I guess the biggest reconciling is I'm always going from church to church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never feel at home. I grew up with my dad being a pastor. So I grew up believing, you know, gay people go to hell.
Oh, wow.
And I believed that until like I came out of the closet when I was like 22, 23. And I kind of realized, oh, so then I know I'm a believer and I know that I'm not going to hell because, you know, what I was taught was as long as you're a believer, you're going to go to heaven. So mm-hmm. those two things never reconciled for me. And I just kind of had to make up my mind what true Christianity was going to represent for me and what I was going to allow myself to do. So I used to go to a church until they revealed themselves to be homophobic. And then I go to another church.
Oh, wow.
So it's like musical chairs.
But, I mean, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you if you found a church home. I'm an atheist. And so my dad knows this. And he's always like, you know, there are churches that are affirming right. of the LGBT community.
Right.
You just have to find the right one. Have you tried to go the Universal Unitarian route? Have you tried to do that?
No. So I'm like hella Baptist.
Oh, okay. All yeah. right. So like, yeah. what does that mean? Because like, I was, you know, Christians out there are going to be like, oh, of course. I was raised non-denominational.
Right,
so,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Of course I'm an atheist now. But like, what does that entail for like, what does that mean? Because I don't know.
Well, what baptism is supposed to mean is that you're a Christian, but you just believe in the art of baptism as representing the choice that you've made.
Okay.
You know, so like some denominations, they baptize you as a baby and stuff like that. But as a Baptist, it's supposed to be when you accept Christ, then like the baptism is representative of your new life beginning. That's
okay.
really the only thing that separates Baptists from, you know, everyone else.
How do you feel about people who assume that people who are queer, LGBTQIA+, et cetera, are not religious?
I think that the sooner we stop demonizing queerness, the more open discussions we can have. Because I'm always fascinated with how other queer people see, like other religious queer people see things. You know, mm-hmm. like I read this book, I was really disappointed, where the guy like came to this conclusion that being gay isn't a sin, but if he had like gay sex, that would be the sin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait.
That's the way a lot of people have thought of it. It's
yeah.
like, it's fine if you're gay, just don't have gay
just
sex.
And I'm just like, all right, well, no, I disagree with that. I feel that I would prefer that people would look at queer people as any other group. There are mm-hmm. people who are religious and there are people who aren't religious. There are people who are Christian, there are people who are Muslim. You know, like we run the gamut just like straight people do. Mm-hmm. And straight is not the default. And I feel like because we haven't made it a safe space for a lot of people to exist as who they are, you know, like I still think of the damage I may have done to some of those friends of mine, the people who I thought were my friends, who I was preaching down to, you know, mm-hmm. saying, oh, the Bible says you can't be gay. Like, what damage did I do to someone like that? Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the damage that my dad did to me growing up hearing the same thing. So I feel like there can be an intersection for queerness and religion, and more people should be aware of that. And I think that would be more beneficial to the queer community to be able to have those open discussions and to see the different dynamics of who we can be on the spectrum. Mm-hmm.
So, how do you think God feels about your sexuality?
I have thought about this, but this is also, I've never talked about this aloud.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I'm one of the people, you know, I believe that God made us the way he made us.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people think that that means that, like, if you're born and this is how you're going to exist and that's what it should be. But that's not the case. God made us to go through the journeys that we're supposed to go mm-hmm. through. And I feel that he made me gay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, let me just be specific about that, because I've had this discussion with my mom specifically. God made me gay. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful about that. Because the idea of the sin, people always attach to the sex. But if you think about it, the Bible says a lot of things about straight sex that mm-hmm. would be considered sinful.
Yeah.
And everyone likes to, no, that's cool. You know, like, I can sleep around because I'm sleeping with someone of the opposite gender. And it's like, no, like, I believe God made me gay. Yes. Then there's a whole different moral quandary that you can deal with about how you choose to do all your carnal things. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm having sex, if I'm not having sex, like, that's a completely different discussion from who I'm attracted to. Mm-hmm. I cannot control who I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
So I feel like God's up there like, did a good job.
He's clapping. He's yeah. like, good job. Yeah. I think he's cute.
Right, yeah. Supposedly it's just belief that's supposed to make you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, oh, but if you're gay, you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, but where does it say that? It's like, oh, yeah. It says it's abomination. And then, you know, you've heard this many times, I'm sure. The Bible says a lot of things are abominations.
Yeah.
That people have said, oh, well, no, it doesn't mean that about pork, or it doesn't mean that about this. And it's like, but everyone still thinks it means that about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you're a true believer, all those things that it says that are abominations are in the Old Testament, and the New Testament supposedly is under grace, meaning, you know, God just wants us to believe and that's it. Everything else, he's supposed to talk to your heart and you're supposed to understand, you know, what's real and what isn't real. And that's how I was raised. You know, it's like, my dad used to say to be open-minded and to not believe everything that he taught me, which a lot of people think, my dad being a pastor, that he probably, like, you know, brainwashed me.
Oh, yeah.
But he never did. He always told me to challenge things.
Oh, wow.
And I would, and sometimes he wouldn't like the way I would challenge him. But it kept my mind open. So when I realized I was gay, it was kind of like, well, this is possible because I think I'm like a very strong believer, but I also know, like, I know what my attraction is. I know, you know, I know who I've fallen in love with, mm-hmm. and it's real. The Bible's always been used as a weapon for people to gain power.
Yeah.
And that's not what it's supposed to be for. So if it comes to slavery, if it comes to, like some pastors who always preach, I forget the specific word for it right now, of course, but they're always talking about money and things like that, and it's usually in order to get tithing. Them money. Yeah, they're tithing and prosperity gospel is the phrase I was thinking of. There's a lot of prosperity preachers out there, and it's to get themselves a new jet. You know, they're saying, oh, give us money because God's going to give you something. And so people are always weaponizing God's word in ways that it wasn't meant for. So, yeah, like, a lot of preachers and pastors really need to check themselves at the door as far as what they're using, like, the Bible for. That's why this whole idea of, like, evangelicals and the political line, I'm gobstopped at how, like, they'll use the Bible to talk about how oppression is right, or, you know, having control over a woman's body is right, and then using the Bible for that. It's like, that's the exact opposite of what the Bible is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I disagree with people who use the Bible to endorse slavery or any other kinds of, like, power that they shouldn't be trying to take.
Going through all of that stuff with not being accepted in the religious community, within the Christian community, have you dealt with a lot of, like, trauma and stuff that's, like, sort of made it hard for you to interact with those spaces, and how have you gotten through that, if that's the case?
I wouldn't say outright trauma.
Okay.
I would say it's more of just kind of like a deep disappointment that I've had to deal with. Because it's really hard. I mean, you're never gonna find, like, the perfect church. That's what a lot of people say. But it's the issues I usually find with churches that I like is not just, the preacher's a little boring, or the choir is just a lot of old people singing hymns. Like, those are problems I could deal with. But when I have a pastor who stands up and then says, gay people going to hell, and, you know, going some kind of rant, or the whole sermon's about that's different. That's attacking, you know, the basis of who I am.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of, I feel almost like a nomad sometimes, because I'll find a church and I'll have all these things that I like, and then I'll be waiting for that shoe to drop, and then it will drop at some point, and then I'll have to go seek another place. Mm. And a lot of the churches, it's difficult for me because I'm a personality.
Okay.
So typically, like if I'm going to a church after like a couple of weeks, like the pastor knows who I am, people know who I am, you know, I like to sing, so I end up in the choir where all the gays hide. And so then usually when the homophobia surfaces, it's kind of like, it's like breaking up a relationship. It's like, oh man, I thought we were gonna be good for each other.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, okay. And you just kind of have to move on. I've seen other people kind of like stand up for homosexuals in church and just be completely shut down.
You know?
Like one time before I even come out, I challenged my dad in some of the scriptures and he like, just the energy just completely changed and he was just like vehement about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I'm like, okay. And that was me being impersonal about it. I don't want to have that kind of personal conversation.
Yeah, because then it's about you and it's not like, it's not theoretical anymore. That's
right.
You.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like I should do better. You know, like I feel like I should start becoming like an advocate for the queer voices in church. I'm just trying to figure out what that path might be. I think the biggest trauma I had to deal with, I think, was just the fact my dad being a pastor.
Yeah.
And me realizing, when I realized I was gay, having to reconcile the fact that he'd always preached that homosexuals were going to hell. And that I had preached that to some of my gay friends in high school,
school,
you know, and just kind of realizing, oh my gosh, this is why people don't like Christians. And I also feel it's kind of sad that I had to wake up to like what true Christianity should be by feeling ostracized by my community.
So have you ever had like an actual confrontation, like a direct, like head-on confrontation with someone about it?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no. I tuck my tail and go.
Why is that?
I'm just afraid of him. Mm-hmm. I've been afraid of my dad my whole life, so it's like, people ask me, you know, what was it like when you came out to your dad? I'm like, I haven't come out to my dad. Like, does he know you're gay? I'm like, probably.
But oh, so you've never had a direct conversation with your father?
No.
Wow.
No. I came out to my sister, and I came out to my mom, and neither of them were very, you know, accepting in the moment. I was like, ooh, and those are my two most understanding close family members, so not going to chat with my dad.
Wow.
And then I took on a personal burden of my dad being a pastor of a church right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
to. What is it going to mean for you to be out and for people to know you, and then how are they going to feel like?
Right.
Judge
exactly.
Him?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be. I don't want to cause that for him.
Yeah.
So I've never had. I mean, I'm sure it's probably gotten around, but I didn't want to directly cause that for him. To get personal for a second, when it reminded me of the hypocrisy of what Christianity can be, because the same reason my sister shut me down was for religious reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing I did to her when I found out that she was pregnant out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
I felt so betrayed that she would be that sinful.
Yeah.
And I didn't talk to her for weeks. And when I came out to her and she treated me the way she did and I was sad about it, she said, well, don't you remember? She brought that up.
Mm.
And it's funny, neither of us in that moment related it to religion. But in both cases, it was us looking at, this is what we were taught was right and wrong, and you were on the side of wrong, and you disappointed me. And I, of course, in the moment was like, those things aren't the same, you know, like being gay is who I am, and like, you know, you chose to have sex, and, you know, and then I'm like, well, on a different tip, those aren't, the way we treat each other came from the same thing, because we just felt like, this is what we taught was right and wrong, and this is what we're gonna stand by, so. Yeah, that was kind of a lesson to me. Because again, you don't really see your shortcomings until you're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
You cast out of the group and then you realize, well, is this what the group stands for?
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like if I had had a different upbringing that was more accepting of things like that, you know, then it would be different. I'd have a different relationship with my sister and my mom and with my dad. And I want that for every other queer kid that's out there who is in a family and feels that they're not accepted. You know, we've got queer kids getting killed for like coming out.
Yeah.
Like parents and step parents and things like that. And what kind of reality is that?
Yeah. That's not good.
That's not good. You know, people, it's like that whole thing about it being a choice. Like, do you think anyone would choose to like be like violently like attacked or, you know, like no one would choose this life.
Yeah.
I would, if I had my wish from when I was 5 years old, I'd be married to Raven Simone right now. And we'd have all these kids, and we'd, you know. But, like, that's, that would be, if I had a choice, that was my choice, you know? Like,
yeah.
But I don't have a choice. Like, the people that I love are male.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's the reality for so many of us.
Yeah, and you can't change that. What would be your advice to a Black Christian family who has a queer relative?
I would say you don't want a queer relative to feel ostracized the way I feel ostracized from my family. There's usually an asterisk about, you know, oh, well, we still want to see you at Thanksgiving, we want to see you at Christmas, but it's like, you're not going to want to see my boyfriend, you're not going to hear about any of that kind of stuff. And the thought is, if you're not accepting your son, your daughter, you know, your gender binary, you know, not non-gender specific, you know, kid or relative, then who is accepting them?
Yeah.
And I think that's so much of the fear is like, oh, you're going to be out in the streets, someone's going to turn you out. It's like, well, why?
Yeah, why am I there?
Why am I there?
What got me on the streets?
Right. Yeah. You know, like someone was talking about how, like, you know, sex ed should be more encompassing because so many gay people and queer people find out about what queer sex is like by having it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want your child to grow up feeling like they can't come to you about things. Like, there's so many times in the past year that I broke down crying about stuff and talking to my friend, I'm like, you know, I really wish I could just like talk to my dad about this or talk to my mom about this, but they've put a like no fly zone there. You know, when I came out the closet, I had no examples of what queer living was supposed to be like. So of course I'm going to experience it by falling in with someone who, you know, is coercing me into situations that maybe I don't feel completely comfortable with, but it's the first time I've also felt like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want, when I lost my virginity, it was to a guy that I did not want to have sex with.
Oh, wow.
And he just kept pushing and pushing. I was like, well, let's just get this over with. But I wish I'd had someone that I could have had a conversation with about what queer sex was going to be like and what I should be allowed to accept and not accept. And again, because it's so demonized that it makes it less safe for those gay family members. Mm-hmm. And also you want someone to feel accepted.
Yeah.
It would be really great if like my gay relatives who I know haven't come out could feel okay coming out and coming to the family reunion or the cookout or the holidays and not feel like they have to hide who they are. Because so often, you know, Black families, especially Black Christian families, it's just that open secret. You know, you have that cousin who comes and just gets a plate of food and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be okay for them to come and bring their partner or bring the husband or their wife.
What keeps you so connected to your faith? Because I feel like if I kept running from place to place and it was the consistent, persistent message of like, we don't want you here, or we don't really agree, I would eventually be like, well, maybe this isn't where I'm supposed to be. So like, I'm curious to know what keeps you so bonded to your religion.
You use the word religion, and I always say that religion is more about rules.
Okay.
Whereas like a belief system is more about just like a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always felt a connection with God. I always felt that God loved me. I always like felt his love, like in very tangible ways. You know, like sometimes I would just feel like a hug, like it's like a spiritual hug, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always had these connections that I felt like, okay, this is God manifesting himself in my life. And I've had, like all of us, we've had like rough paths in life, but I've always felt God helping me out in situations, you know, helping me land on my feet or things, you know, going through a rough time and then seeing all of a sudden, oh, this is what it was leading towards. And I know a lot of people don't have that kind of experience, but
yeah.
I have. So I've never doubted his existence. It's just kind of been more of a focus of me thinking that maybe one of my purposes is to challenge the fact that so many people make Christianity exclusionary when it's supposed to be inclusionary.
Yeah.
Like, it really goes against the exact basis of what the belief system is supposed to be. And I'm really surprised a lot of people don't see the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
It usually takes someone who's not a believer to see the hypocrisy. And I feel like in order to actually change it, you have to be someone who is a believer. And if you go back to some of the greatest people like that we're supposed to follow in the Bible, including Jesus, he would challenge the hypocrisy of it.
Yeah.
And nowadays we look at it as something completely like atonal to what Jesus actually established. He didn't establish a rule system. He abolished all the rules and said, just believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were like, cool. So like after 2,000 years of that, here's more rules that we're gonna throw on that weren't there. So I've always felt a connection with God. Mm. You know, like to me, he's as real as like the sunrise.
How do you react to people in the LGBT community who criticize you for being religious?
I can't knock it. I get it. You know, when you've been oppressed by a group of people, you know, like so many Christians have tried to oppress, you know, homosexuality, still are. You know, I'm glad that I didn't grow up in the kind of church where like they would send me off to get, you know, electrocuted.
Yeah.
Until the church shows real, not just openness and love, but repentance for the wrong that it's done. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, the Catholic Church should do this for all. And I'm like, a lot of churches have done a lot of harm on people physically, emotionally, mentally. And I can't knock it if a fellow queer person feels that the church has done terrible things and that's why they're not religious. I get it. I can just only hope that maybe that the life I live might show them that it's possible for religion and queerness to live in the same space, in the same vessel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I direct films and web series, and also I write novels, and I try to write characters that live at different intersections like I do. And it's opened up my eyes a lot, you know, working with like disabled actors, really change your mind about how how things are run and how spaces move. You know, it's really changed my life working with more queer actors and just, you know, because they are like, you don't have any queer friends? I'm like, no, I don't. This is amazing, you know, learning things I didn't know that aren't just from RuPaul's Drag Race. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, there's more, believe it or not.
Exactly. So I try to make sure that every project I sign my name on, whether it's me producing someone else's project or directing my own or writing something, that there's a real representation and inclusion that happens on that project. I try to do, you know, the Shonda Rhimes way, like maybe just, you know, have open expectations of whoever's gonna walk in the door, and then once those people walk in the door, like, okay, cool, now let's like really tell a story and like let's make these characters three-dimensional and kind of challenge the comfort. Nobody wants to see the same stories with the same characters all the time.
Yeah.
There's so many of us that haven't had our stories represented. And I'm passionate. There's a story I'm writing about a family that has these, that's very religious and has a queer relative. Mm. And I want to talk directly about it because I think there's a lot I can cover with that.
All right, on that note, that concludes this conversation. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Let me know how you guys felt about it in the comment box below. And please subscribe to this channel if you like this content and you want to continue to learn, share, and grow. Bye.